My name is Duke Paddock. I want to send you my greetings from Jacksonville, Florida. My wife, Katie, and I are sorry we cannot be there to meet all you folks in person, but that's not possible this evening. It was announced in your printed publicity I was as the oldest living member of AA. That statement can be interpreted in two ways. Perhaps I do have the greatest number of years of membership in the fellowship, and consequently the greatest number of years of sobriety. I had my last drink on August the 15th, 1940, so last August I celebrated 54 years without a drink, and I haven't had one since last August either. For that, I am truly grateful to my higher power, whom I choose to call God. There is, however, another aspect of that word oldest, and that is my actual age. At my next birthday, which is March the 18th, 1995, I'll be 90 years of age. There may be others in our membership who have more age than I do, and if that is so, more power to them. I hope with those members everything hurts in the right places as it does with me. I remember very well my introduction to AA. Bob Feller pitched a no-hit game for the Cleveland Indians in the summer of 1940. It was against the St. Louis Browns, which later became the Baltimore Orioles. When the game was over, the reporters rushed into the clubhouse to congratulate Bob Feller, and they also interviewed his battery mate, catcher Raleigh Hemsley. They asked him some direct questions like, "How did you do such a good job today when only a short time ago you were going to be thrown out of baseball because you were a drunkard?" Raleigh broke his anonymity and told those reporters how he was meeting with a small group in Akron who called themselves Alcoholics Anonymous. This story hit the front page of the Cleveland newspaper, and my supervisor in the company I was working for saw it and was very interested. Katie and I were out of Toledo for a long weekend, and when we returned, we found a letter from my boss asking me to meet him at 8 o'clock Friday morning at a downtown hotel in Toledo, and also saying that he wanted to talk to my wife at 10 o'clock that morning. I wondered what it was all about. When Katie came down to the hotel, he met her, saw that she was comfortable, then turned to me and said, "I want to talk to you, Duke, about your drinking." Oh, boy. Then he went on to explain that he'd been investigating, quote, alcoholic cures, end of quote, like the Keeley cure and others, but he was really impressed by what he had discovered about AA. He called it Alcoholics Anonymous. He said to me, "You don't have to join this, but you will have to do something because I can't front for you with the company anymore." He went on to say, "Duke, I think this will appeal to you because I think it is psychologically sound and religiously sane." He told me that two men would come to our apartment on Sunday afternoon to explain AA to me, and that I should do anything they wanted me to do and the company would pay for it. The rest is history. These two wonderful guys called on me. They invited me to come to Akron for the following weekend, which I did. And there I was a patient at City Hospital, and Dr. Bob was my physician. That weekend in the hospital was something I will never forget and will always be very grateful for. The members came to visit me in my hospital room and told me their stories. Some of them were the ones whose stories were published in our big book. For instance, there was the traveler, editor, scholar, whose name was Jim Scott. He provided me with some very inspirational reading material. Also, there was the ward of the probate court, who was Bill Van Horn. And then there was Fired Again, whose name was Wally Gillum, and he made a tremendous impression on me. Of course, there were others. I want to tell you about Sunday morning. Dr. Bob himself came in, and we had coffee together. I remember one statement he made, and it has remained with me all these years. He said, "Duke, everything's going to be all right." Just think what those words gave to me. They gave me assurance. Dr. Bob was paraphrasing a statement made many, many, many years ago. It is, "Let not your hearts be troubled." That assurance, coming from one of the co-founders of our fellowship, gave me hope. And when I was shaving that morning, all of a sudden I knew something. I knew I was going to tell Katie the truth, and that I was going to live my life in the future with the security the AA program promised to me. I had a sense of peace and comfort that was most pleasant, and I looked forward to the future. The following day, Monday, Katie and I were in Youngstown, Ohio. She had come down on the bus from Toledo on Sunday, and we had ridden over to Youngstown in the company car. I left the hotel Monday morning, and before I made my first call on a customer, I went to the office of Neil Kennedy, whose name had been given to me in Akron. He welcomed me like a long-lost brother and told me that he and his wife Marion wanted Katie and me to come to their home for dinner that evening. We did so, and we met Marion, who was one of the most charming ladies we had ever seen. After dinner, and incidentally, there was another couple who were at the table with us. The man was a member of the fellowship. Anyway, as I said, after dinner, we went out on the front porch of the Kennedy home, and another member had brought a prospect over for me to talk to. So I made my first 12th step. I was fired up and in pretty good shape, so I told this fellow all about AA. After all, I'd been a member for about 36 hours, and I did know all about it. When I stopped for breath, the prospect said, "Well, that's all well and good for you folks who've known each other for a long time, but I'm a newcomer, and I don't understand what this is all about." He couldn't believe that I had known these folks for only a couple of hours. I did know Dave S., his last name was Sweeney, who formerly lived in Youngstown, Ohio. The local group there was organized in the fall of 1940, and Katie and I were fortunate enough to be present at that first meeting. It was conducted by Dr. Bob Smith himself, and we remember his remarks very clearly. The group increased in attendance, and it became necessary to secure a larger place for their meetings. Dave was appointed chairman of a committee to find such a meeting place. He went to the American Legion, which had a nice hall in its building, and attempted to rent this hall for the group. The owners of the building wanted to know about their prospective tenants. When Dave told them it was Alcoholics Anonymous, they said, "No, sir, we don't want any drinking going on in here." They didn't know anything about AA. Dave finally explained the purpose of our fellowship, and they finally agreed to allow the group to meet there. I think the entire incident is amusing. I'd like to mention a few more things about Dr. Bob and his wonderful wife, Annie Smith. Katie traveled with me after I joined AA, and we tried to be in Canton, Ohio on Wednesday evenings as frequently as we could, because we could drive up to Akron after I was through with my work, and we could attend the AA meeting at the King School. These meetings were great, and in addition to our becoming better acquainted with the program by attending them, the meetings themselves were a lot of fun. Dr. Bob usually had something to say, and Annie always contributed to the meeting. Her remarks were stimulating. I remember one of her sayings, which she told us she had received from a friend of hers who was a Native American, an Indian. It was, "Never criticize until you have walked a mile in the other person's moccasins." That taught us tolerance, which the book says, "Live and let live." After the meeting was over in the King School, we always went to the donut shop for refreshments. We would gather around Dr. Bob and listen to his remarks. He had a down east accent and a dry sense of humor, which was delightful. He frequently set us into paroxysms of laughter. We always looked forward to Wednesday evenings in Akron. There was a great deal of family life in those early days. The meetings were open. The non-alcoholic spouse was always welcome, and there seemed to be a friendly atmosphere which was peaceful and pleasant. We put a great deal of emphasis on one-to-one relationship. I remember that in Toledo one Saturday after there had been some local publicity about AA, Katie and I went out and made a dozen AA 12-step calls. I talked to the prospective member, and Katie talked to the spouse, if there was one. In our opinion, that was the kind of AA that accomplished a great deal. There are also some very important things. First, we have sufficient spiritual power to find the answer to any question and the solution to any problem connected with our disease of alcoholism. We have also learned that we can replenish our spiritual power every day by remembering the promise we made to ourselves not to drink today. I feel that I must mention the four absolutes because they are fundamental in our program. They are 1, absolute honesty, 2, absolute unselfishness, 3, absolute purity, 4, absolute love. Let's talk about them for a moment or two. First, absolute honesty. This means just what it says. We must live honest lives with no deviation whatever. One of the symptoms of alcoholism is a tendency to lie. If we do that, we wear ourselves out because we have to remember so much. Now we don't have to recall what we said that we did yesterday. Absolute honesty is a must. Second, absolute unselfishness. Every time we go out on a 12-step, we are practicing absolute unselfishness. We are trying to carry a positive message to someone whom we may not have even met or known before. Third, absolute purity. Believe me, this is not a mollycoddle word. I heard it first from a garbage man in Akron. That is a fact. Not long before I met him, he was the drunken driver of a garbage truck. But Dr. Bob and his AA friends had worked on him, and he was recovering. He said to me, "Show me the kind of thoughts a man has, and I will know what kind of a man he is." I realized that I wasn't comfortable with my thoughts, so I tried to improve my thinking, and the result was that I acquired the peace of mind that AA wants me to have. Fourth, absolute love. This is the kind of love our friend St. Paul was writing about when he said, "Love suffers long and is kind. It's not puffed up. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Let's remember what Dr. Bob said. Keep it simple and lubricate it with love. We also have practical faith. What do I mean by practical faith? I consider myself one of the luckiest guys who ever lived because I learned about faith from men like Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson and from wonderful gals like Marty Mann. They told me that faith without works is dead, which is the theme of the book of James. And we know that our program, which is based on faith, is anything but dead. It is an active, dynamic force which is keeping us going day after day. Another bit is security. We know we are safe. We just practice our program every day. You have heard the phrase, "easy does it." That doesn't mean take it easy. It means do it day by day until it is easy to do. All champions know that, and members of our fellowship are champions. Just remember, no 12th step is ever a failure. Maybe we haven't convinced our new prospect and he or she may continue to drink, but we have remained okay on the road to recovery. AA wants us to be comfortable, to have the peace of mind which we deserve. Our sense of humor is restored. Now we can laugh and enjoy life, which we could not do so before we joined AA. I heard a story which fits into our thinking. There's a small area in North America where Canada is south of the United States. I'm talking about Windsor, Ontario. It seems that there was a fellow sitting on a curbstone there one day, and he would say, "Can't be done." He repeated that phrase several times. The policeman asked him, "What is the matter?" The fellow pointed to a large electric sign and repeated again, "It can't be done." The sign read, "Drink Canada Dry." Yes, we can see the humor in our lives now. Another gift to us is freedom. We're not limited anymore by obsession or habit. We are free to make our own decisions. We are even free to choose our own higher power. All AA demands of us that we have complete confidence in that higher power. AA gives us friends. We are never alone or lonely again. Wherever we go, we can find others who think like we do. That wasn't always the case, but now our fellowship is worldwide and we can find real friends wherever we go, wherever we may be. Katie and I have made contacts in many parts of the world. We actually found an English-speaking group in Rome, Italy, one year when we were traveling there. Each one of us is rich in friends, and for that we are truly grateful. Another aspect of our AA program is its pragmatism. That's a sort of deep philosophical word, but it isn't really. Pragmatism means if it works, it's right. And we know that AA works. Great scholars and spiritual leaders have testified to that effect. Think about it. In little more than half a century, our program has been accepted and endorsed everywhere. We can report on actually millions of folks who have made a success of AA. Let's consider for a moment what I term as the greatest gift of all. It is the grace of God. It is the undeserved reward that is guaranteed to us by our higher power. The author Samuel Clemens wrote under a nom de plume which many of us recognize. It was Mark Twain. This phrase came from the riverboat traffic of his time. A so-called lead man would stand at the prow of a riverboat with a line in his hand. At the end of the line was a lead weight. He would throw this line overboard and watch carefully as the lead weight touched bottom. Then he would look at the marks on the line and call out their respective depths. If he called by the mark 1, the pilot knew he was in dangerous shallow water and would alter the course of the riverboat. If the call was by the mark 20, the pilot knew he was in a deeper and safer channel and could proceed on his way. You and I don't have to worry about shoals and dangerous waters to the right or left. We know we are in a safe stretch of life if we go straight ahead. We are guaranteed safety, peace of mind, and comfort if we are on Mark Twain. Thank you.